Tonight is a special calling in the lost service. There is a, if you go to Dave's website right now on the homepage, there's a little square kind of in the center to the right. Please pray for Pastor Dave Roberson. And if you click on it, then this document comes up, and I just brought it because I know not everybody goes there. And it says, "Dear friends, please pray for Dave. Often in services and ministry meetings over the years, Dave would say, 'If the Lord puts me on your heart, please pray for me, my family, and this ministry.' Why? Because Dave understands the authority that is released when people join in the Spirit in prayer. Dave also understands the power of confession, speaking or proclaiming God's word, and has spent many years teaching on this foundational truth, specifically on how confession helps us renew our soul to the word of God so that we receive his word as the final say-so in every situation. For those of you who walk in fellowship with this ministry and the truths that Dave has been teaching through the years, please join us in the Spirit, in prayer, and the confession of God's word for Dave's life, ministry, and call." Now, at the website, it says there are two links below that will take you to two versions of the confessions. One version specific to Dave. And by the way, I brought that version with me. I'm going to pass them out in a little while. If I give them to you now, you'll be reading it instead of listening to me. So... What did Dave always say? "Don't be looking down at your Bible while I'm talking to you. You should have read your Bible before you got here, you know." We work together to develop these. These are scriptures directly from the Word of God, just made into a confession. There are also some prophecies where the Lord himself has spoken certain statements, certain promises that we know are his will for Pastor Dave. So some of those we have taken also and just made them into a present tense, now confession. And I'm going to do a little teaching to, you know, as the Lord would teach, and then he would preach, and then he would heal, right? So we're going to teach and preach and heal tonight. So this first version is really just, it's worded directly for Dave. The second version, because as we were developing this and going, some of these confessions, I think I need them as much as Dave. So the other version is basically the same thing, but it's Dave and I. I'm declaring this over Dave and I. you'll see what we mean as we get there. Now, before we get there, let me teach just a little bit, okay? You remember over the years when Dave would talk about the room of God's love? And he says that room, he would see it in the Spirit. And during those days, you know, he would get little moments in there, little glimpses, little baths of glory from there. And it would so saturate him that when he would just walk in the room, the atmosphere would change. Y'all remember that? Weeping would just break out spontaneously without anybody saying anything. But he would teach, he would tell us, he'd warn us. He'd say, "Now, the ultimate revelation is the love of God. God is love." He said that room, if you'll allow me, he would see it like a room with this bank vault steel door. You know, the kind where you got to turn the big handle and pull the lever and this thick giant door would open. You'd remember him teaching about that. And he said, "I would see that room. I would approach it." And he said, there was one time when he said it was like opened up just a crack. And the glory that would pour out of there, it was so bright and intense, you could hardly look at it. But the feeling that he would get, the presence of God's love, was just incredible. But he would warn us at the same time, and I made some notes so I can say it just like he said it. He said, of all the revelation rooms, of all the places where a person could go in the Spirit, he said, that door right there is the most heavily guarded door of all. It's like the best of hell's demons camp around that door. the choicest warrior devils, if there's such a thing, camp around that door. Because from hell's point of view, at all costs, none must enter there. Heavily guarded means all hell will come against anyone who tries to enter that room. I remember one time during that season when Dave traveled to Ohio, and we were at Jim Martin's conference that year, and Dave had done a wonderful service. You know, it was just pure Dave 101. It was pure, you know, and the gifts of the Spirit were flowing, and people got healed, and it was just wonderful, okay? And Dave, after the service, there were some other things going on, and so, you know, he needs to recover. So he would go back. He went back to Jim's office just to recover and have a little bottled water and had a little alone time. Well, we found out later that while he was back there, Dave said, for 1 minute, to Dave it seemed like 1 minute, God allowed him to be actually in that room. He said, I feel like Paul. I have no words. I have no words to convey to you what that room is. He said, it was wonderful beyond all description. It was everything God is, love, joy, peace, everything. I got to be in it for 1 minute. And I wrote this down. This is the wording from Dave. The Lord said to him, after he came back out, he was only in there about a minute. I didn't write this part down, but I remember him saying, he said, that was about all I could stand. It was so. But the Lord said to him, quote, this is a taste. This is a taste of what will become your permanent abiding place. Well, trouble is, I believe that. Don't you believe that? Yeah. Trouble is, that's the most heavily guarded door of all. Meaning, if Dave keeps pursuing that room, all hell will come against him. Those of us that's been here, amen? Yeah. All right. Now let's take one other case, and you can go ahead and look this up in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Most of you at this point could teach this, but I want it on this message. I don't know how far and wide this message is going to be sent. We'll see. But it needs to be on there. For number one, all hell has come against Dave because he's pressing into that room of love. I know that for sure. But here's the second, and it's 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And see, I was taught in denominational church that it was God that gave Paul some kind of thorn in the flesh. They usually say a weeping eye, some kind of eye disease. They have a 16-cylinder name for it, ophthalmalia or something, I don't know. I mean, they just got it all figured out, you know, that, oh, yeah, Paul was just getting a little prideful because of the abundance of his revelation, so God had to take him down a notch or two. So God gave him, G-A-W-D, God gave him this affliction, this thorn in the flesh to humble him. The trouble is, it doesn't say that at all. it doesn't say that at all. Now let's look at what it does say. Paul was being exalted. What was causing that exaltation? The revelation knowledge that he had, the abundance of the revelations. And because of those revelations, Paul was the most dangerous man on planet Earth as far as the devil was concerned. You got to remember, Jesus has already gone on to heaven. And Paul, everywhere he goes, churches are established. He came not just in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Miracles would happen. People would get healed. That one guy fell out of the second story window and died. Paul raised him from the dead. I mean, from the devil's point of view, Paul is the most dangerous man on planet Earth. And he's being exalted because of the abundance of the revelation. So what it plainly tells you, what happened? It says the devil, it's a messenger of Satan, not an angel from God. It's a messenger of Satan. It's a choice warrior devil of some kind, maybe a principality, a power. Is it his assignment from Lucifer? You stop Paul at all costs. Take however many demons you need with you. Take these little devils with you. However many you need, I don't care. The expenses, there, it doesn't matter. If you bankrupt hell, it doesn't matter. Your assignment, buffet him. Buffet him in the flesh everywhere that he goes. Because you have one job and one job only. And that's to stop Paul. And then Pastor Dave, you know how he likes to teach everything in context. He says, you don't have to go very far to see what that devil did. So let's back up a little bit. You know, Dave would usually say at this point, have you ever heard of a chapter 11? Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The devil filed a chapter 11 on the Apostle Paul. And I think he's filed a chapter 11 on Pastor Dave, see? So here's that chapter 11. Back up to 2 Corinthians 11. We'll just start in verse 22. Now really, Paul here is, he has been accused of not being an apostle by these false apostles that have come to Corinth. And they're bragging about their apostleship. And they're saying basically Paul isn't really a genuine apostle. So here he goes. He's giving his credentials, but he's giving his a whole different way than they gave theirs. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's fixing to tell us down here in a little bit, he's had nearly 200 stripes just from the Jews alone, not counting the whippings he got from the Gentiles. This 200, say 200. 200 lashes across your back. You reckon you could count them anymore? And especially plus the ones from the Gentiles. He's not exaggerating. God only knows what that man's back looked like, the scars. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. And that means fear of death, you know, or a risk of death. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's almost 200, just from the Jews. Three times I was beaten with rods. That was a fairly common practice back then. They would, because the main mode of communication was to walk from village to village and speak your message. So they would put your feet in these stock-like things, and they'd take something resembling today what would look like a baseball bat, and they would break the bones in your feet. And the reason they would do it is say, you're going to stop you. You're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to be able to walk. 3 times this happened to him. And yet somehow God healed him, raised him up, and he was able to continue. Once I was stoned. You read about that at Lystra. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day. I have been in the deep. I have tried to meditate that. You know, here's the ship is gone. He's in the deep. He's probably holding on to some kind of wreckage to float. And we like to think about a nice, clear, moonlit, starry night. And that's with Paul bobbing up and down. Well, it was a storm that sunk the ship. It may have been storming and raining and swelling and going like this. Even if it was a starry night, you're there hanging on. And about that time, the shark fin swims by and you hear, da-dun, da-dun, da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway. Now what, you think the devil's silent that night? Day and a night? A day and a night. Think the devil's silent? What would he be saying? What would he be saying to anybody? Where is your God now? He's a rewarder, is he? This is your great reward for laying down your life. You need to stop this. Where is your God now? You can just hear that devil. Didn't stop him, though. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And they're all fussing among each other, you know. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And sometimes, you know, it's just my left elbow hurts a little bit today. I don't think I can make it to church. Besides that Tim, he walked right by me and didn't even acknowledge I was there the last time. Somebody sat in my chair. I don't like the color of the carpet. Grow up, somebody says, grow up. Now let's go. Okay, let's get back to this now. Why? What was the reason that devil was assigned to stop Paul? What was it that was causing Paul's ministry to be so exalted? It was the abundance of his revelations. Now I wrote this down. I think you'll agree with this. See, I don't personally know of anybody who has more abundance of revelations than Pastor Dave Roberson. There may be somebody, but if there is, I sure don't know who it is. I don't know anybody personally who has strived more diligently to enter into the room of love than Pastor Dave Roberson. And for both of those reasons, the abundance of the revelations and his dogged, determined perseverance to enter that room of love. You know, and I know, all hell has come against Dave and his family. Everything you can imagine has been thrown at him, and it's got one purpose and one purpose only. And that's to stop Dave. To stop him. And I'm telling you right now, Dave could have compromised a long time ago. Dave is a smart man. Tim is a smart man. If they would have gotten together and said, all right, it's time for plan B. We're going to just go for the big church and the fancy church and the nice. They could have built a huge, big church a long time ago if they would have decided to abort plan A. See, my hat goes off to people that no matter what the devil throws against you, no matter what the devil throws, I'm not going to abort plan A. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lower the standard that God gave. I'm not going to abandon this mission into revival. No matter what hell throws, I am going on. That's a man of God that I can follow. Amen? Well, he said, please pray for me. Didn't he again and again pray for me? I think he kind of saw it coming, the assault that would come against him. Now, one more time, go to Matthew 8. We have time for this. Go to Matthew 8. I just want to refresh your memory again about the power of intercession. Matthew 8, we're going to pick it up in verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, just a little history lesson. This is a centurion. He's a Gentile. He is not a descendant of Abraham. And under the law at that time, it was illegal for an Israelite to go under the roof of a Gentile. Yet Jesus was going to do it anyway. I'll come to your house and I'll come in. I'll heal the man. So this man is being very courteous to Jesus. He understands. He said, you know, it's not really legal for you to come into my house. So look at what he says. I'm going to read that part again. Lord, I'm not worthy. In other words, I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Whew. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now let's stop there just for a moment. This man understood authority. And he understood who Jesus, he believed Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus is the Word made manifest. And he's going, speak the Word only. He knew that the Word of God had authority over everything else. See, I've said this many times. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything created. No, not one single thing. Pigtail in the Greek. That means everything that is created at its core. You know why everything will respond to the Word of God? Because at its core, everything is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It doesn't have a choice. And that's what the centurion, whether he fully understood all that, I don't know, but he understood authority. And he says, I know that the Word of God, if you'll speak the Word only, because he knew that Jesus was who he said he was. If you speak the word only, my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I've not found faith like this, not in Israel. So if you come on down to verse 13, notice, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now notice, and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, there's many reasons why I love this. I believe it's on purpose. We are not given any information about the servant at all. We don't know if he was an Israelite or a Gentile. We don't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy. We don't know if he had faith or if he didn't have faith. I think we're purposely not told anything about him so that you as an intercessor would know. You can get somebody else healed on your faith. Did you get that? Whose faith is he bragging on here? The guy at home sick? No. He's bragging on the centurion, the guy who came to make intercession. You have come tonight to make intercession for Pastor Dave. And I'll tell you, we are going to speak the word only. And Pastor Dave will be healed. Now, the way it's worded, it's Pastor Dave, because I was laser focused on this when we were putting this together. But this includes Rosalie. This includes the children, includes the grandchildren, includes the whole house. But tonight, we're going to laser focus on Pastor Dave. We've not only had these things that God has spoken over Pastor Dave, which we're going to quote here in a minute. This is exactly the same document that is available at Dave's website. And you can just print it right there. And then there's another one that's the same thing, except everywhere it says Dave and I. Okay, you'll see why here in a minute. I think he wants to just get right into this. Just get right into it. Okay. All right. So just say this just like we would do a normal calling. In the, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, that's it. Now listen, we're going to do this tonight, but we're asking, and this is what is asked at the website. Please do this at least once a day. Okay? Trust me, when Jesus says it, he only says it once. We're not moving God. Remember that letter? Reread the letter that's also at the Dave's website. We're not moving God. These confessions keep us strong. It keeps the switch of faith turned on. Okay? Besides that, it gives the Holy Spirit ammunition. Remember, in the beginning, the earth was void, dark, and without form. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit's God. He knows everything. So the instant that the Father wanted light, he knew that the Father wanted light, and he had the ability to produce it, but he's waiting on something. He didn't do anything until he heard the spoken word, light be, and then he moved, and light was. Well, we're going to speak the word only, and God's servant, Dave Roberson, shall be healed. Amen? All right. So you just say this after me. Dave blesses the Lord with all of his soul. And with all that is within him. He blesses the Lord and forgets not all his benefits. The Lord forgives all of Dave's iniquities and heals all of his diseases. Dave's life is redeemed from destruction, and he is crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Dave is satisfied with good things, and his youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord has lit Dave's candle and enlightened his darkness. The Lord causes him to run through a troop and leap over a wall. The Lord girds Dave with strength and makes his way perfect. The Lord makes him able to stand firmly and make progress on the dangerous heights of testings and trials. The Lord sets Dave firmly upon the high places. The Lord teaches Dave's hands to war. The Lord is his shield of salvation. The Lord's right hand holds Dave up. His gentleness has made Dave great. And the Lord causes Dave's feet to not slip. Dave pursues his spiritual enemies and overtakes them. He does not stop until his enemies are consumed. Dave's enemies are wounded and not able to rise. They are fallen under his feet. The Lord has girded Dave with strength for the battle. The Lord has subdued those that rose up against Dave. Great deliverance has the Lord given to Dave. The Lord shows great mercy to his anointed, Dave Roberson. And we sing praises unto the name of the Lord. Dave has a sound mind, full of love and power, free from fear and torment. He is in constant fellowship with the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, who teaches him all truth and shows him things to come. Dave has the mind of Christ and has access to all wisdom. Dave accurately discerns all things. The Holy Spirit brings to his remembrance all things which the Lord has spoken unto him. Dave is a steward of the mysteries of God, and he remembers every revelation he has received. Dave has been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of Dave's understanding have been enlightened to know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Dave comprehends the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Dave understands that he is quickened raised and seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Therefore, Dave is seated far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named. Dave has been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt Dave. The Lord Himself causes Dave's mind to articulate and hear clearly all the days of his life. The Lord Himself causes Dave's health to be in place for his clothes and provision to always be more than sufficient for every need. Dave takes authority over his mind and speaks to his soul every day, saying, I command you to be sound and healthy. You are not permitted to lose memories. Never, in Jesus' name. We call forth the Lord's hidden ones to overthrow the enemies who desire to take the houses of the Lord into their own possession. Our God empowers the hidden ones to rise up and make his enemies like the stubble. The stubble before the wind. Let the enemies of God be confounded and ashamed, that men may know that thou alone, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. O Lord, empower your hidden ones with supernatural wisdom to overtake the way of the world's wisdom. We call forth change into the monetary situations as your hidden ones are released into their anointings. Dave continually walks in the peace of God. Dave shall end up full of years and full of days. The nature of God comes forth in Dave as a reigning conqueror. It overtakes every dark part of the past and fills Dave with light. Dave follows the Spirit of God, and he shall end full of days and full of reward at the Lord's return. Dave receives from the Lord peace and joy, with no fear to the end of his days. Dave shall go home fat with reward and shouting the victory every moment. Dave is leading the charge into revival. The revival of truth, soundness of mind, and sanity. A revival so grounded and sound that the finest minds will evaluate and say that your God must be God. Lord, we magnify and glorify you. We rejoice in your presence. For you alone are freedom and our answer. And we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see why we have another version as we were doing this, you know? And I'm going, I think I need some of these. I command my mind, you know. I talk to my mind now and I say, I command you to be sound and healthy. You're not permitted, mind, to lose memories. Never. In Jesus' name. I don't think Jesus ever lost any, and I'm not going to lose any. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dave is here, by the way. We're praying for you, Pastor Dave. Now, please keep this copy. If it gets too crumpled, you can print another one. We have some extras if you want to take an extra one with you. It's fine. If you want to give them to other people, that's fine. But let's remember to do this daily, okay? Speak the word. Let's just speak it daily, at least once, you know? Hey, I've been through battles. I am encouraged, I guess is the right word, by Alan. I so admire the courage. So many people would run and hide. But he'll just come right up here and just stand courageously, and to me, just spitting in the devil's eye. I'm not moved by these circumstances. I'm not moved by what the doctors say. I'm not moved by my emotions. I am moved by the word of God. Well, where did he get that? How did he become that way? Pastor Dave Roberson, for the big part of it. He's same with all of us. And so Dave has put into us, he has poured into all of us all these years, and all hell has come to stop him. Well, we're going to stop all hell.
Amen.
We're going to stop all hell in Jesus' name.